If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
NYYST. Hold up. Why do they doubt the kid? I'm about to prove them all wrong again. I got a low tolerance because they don't even know where their problem is. It's me. You waiting on the boy to fail, then hold your breath and face your death. Because you play a roulette with each step. I progress no less. Go ahead and place your bet. Because we know where we at. Yeah, we know we top tier. Because all the hate that you bring, we know it stops here. I'm taking off like a rocketeer and stopping here. It's strange how they cannot see the future, but see profit.
Back. This is episode 449 of the NYYST podcast. We're live here on NYY Underground. I am your host, Christian. I'm joined by my co-host, Sem.
What's up?
What's bothering you this week?
This week?
Yeah, bro. You're like a walking triage unit, bro. You're catching something broke. What's your problem this week?
My sump pump broke. My sink clogged.
Okay. It seems like a lot of plumbing issues.
My acid neutralizer backed up into my house.
His ass backed up into his house. Okay.
My Crohn's disease.
I knew that was coming.
I feel like
shit. You never have to like clarify that. That we already know that.
No. Well.
So we're here live on NYY Underground. We are a month away. 4 weeks exactly. Opening day. The Yankees will take on the Milwaukee Brewers at Yankee Stadium at 3:00. It's unbelievable that we are sitting 4 weeks away from opening day. I really didn't think that this day would ever come and be here, that this winter went by pretty quickly.
For you. My mouth still tastes like salt.
Oh my God, bro. Please. Why don't you gargle with Listerine or something?
I'd rather taste the salt.
Is your brother watching the show?
I don't know. Well, fuck that guy.
Well, we know what he likes to eat, so maybe you should do that and you get the salt out of your mouth.
Oh, no.
So, chat, what's up? We're live here tonight, so if you're joining us in the chat here on NYY Underground, please like this video, subscribe to NYYU, and if you're listening to us on your favorite podcast platform Friday morning, please leave us a 5-star rating and review. Subscribe there as well. Tell everybody NYYST is the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey. Lots happened in the last week. We'll get started. This should actually excite you here as being the as being a guy that wants to cosplay as a Duck Dynasty member.
I do not like Duck Dynasty.
I've never watched a second of it in my life.
Me neither. I'm a Viking.
It broke on Friday. It was Friday, right? I think
Friday morning. Yeah,
Friday morning. The Yankees are allowed to have well groomed beards now, and that is a bit of a surprise to me. I'll say this: I've never been one to complain about it. I've always kind of liked it that the Yankees had this thing that kind of separated from them from themselves from this, you know, and they had this like professional, you know, look and air about them. But at the same time, I've lost exactly 0 minutes of sleep over it. I know a lot of people are bitching and complaining on social media about it ruining Yankee tradition. Let's get one thing straight here. This is not a Yankee tradition. This is a George Steinbrenner rule. A lot of people will tell you reasons why he came up with it. I'm not going to get into any of that right now, but this is not a long-standing 1903 Yankee tradition. I just think that guys back in the 20s and 30s and 40s, there weren't a lot of bearded men running around, and it just became a newer thing in the, you know, in the 70s, 80s, 90s, and obviously today. So this is not a Yankee tradition. This is just something that George Steinbrenner wanted to implement on his team to have them look clean cut and professional. So it's not ruining Yankee tradition at all. What ruining Yankee tradition is the fact that they haven't won a World Series in 2009, because don't get lost in the fact that the real Yankee tradition is winning and winning world championships. And it's something the Yankees haven't done since 2009. So you can sit there and cry and complain, it's ruining tradition. Stop. It's not ruining tradition. The fact that Aaron Boone last week got a second contract extension before he won a World Series is what's ruining Yankee tradition. What's ruining Yankee tradition is the fact that Brian Cashman has not been able to finish off a world championship team since 2009. Those are things that are ruining Yankee tradition. The fact that four or five guys might actually grow beards is not ruining Yankee tradition. You know, people think they're all going to run around growing beards. I don't see that happening. I mean, how many guys do you really think are going to go out there and grow beards? We obviously know Devin Williams is probably the catalyst for this. You know, Rodon's probably going to grow it back out. Maybe Bellinger does as a guy that had one in the past. You know, maybe we see guys like, well, you know, catchers will probably grow it out, because Wells said that is actually more comfortable to grow a beard and wear the mask. Judge ain't doing it. You know, how many guys are probably actually going to do this? You know, so if it's seven, I would consider it a lot. It's not a big deal. You got used to the fucking Star Insurance Company patch on the jersey, which, you want to talk about ruining tradition, sullying the pinstripes with some fucking advertisement is much worse than guys growing beards. So, you know, to me, it's not a big deal. And if it makes anybody more comfortable here, regardless of what Aaron Judge said, you know, I don't really have a problem with it.
We get doing Cole grows his back out.
Who?
Cole.
He's not. He said he's not going to.
Well, he should. I like him better.
And if he does, then he does. What do you think is going to bother me?
It would. If not, you're a cuck for Cole.
No, I mean, I do like his suburban dad look, but if he wanted to scruff it out and get more of an edge to him, that's fine as well. I don't think it's going to affect his pitching one way or another.
As someone who's had to shave their beard off in the past, when I don't have my beard on, I feel very insecure. So I don't know how they handle it. I couldn't imagine going out in front of a bunch of people without my beard on. I'd probably hide in a hole.
You know, a lot of what the Yankees did this week is just a big distraction from what we should be worried about. What do we got here? We got a super chat from Oscar Gutierrez. Did you know that's Rey Mysterio Jr.'s real name?
No.
Well, is that you, Ray? What's up, bro? He says, Brett Beatty to the Yanks for Stro. I mean, yeah, sure. I mean, you gonna say no to that?
No.
I mean, especially after Beatty got his SUV from Soto for 22, why not?
He can drive his Tahoe on over to Whitestone.
I don't know. You think the Mets are really interested in what's his face?
Stroman.
Stroman?
No. Who wants to do that again? Right? How long was he on the Mets for?
Probably a year plus. I don't know exactly.
Yeah, now he sucks.
He wasn't that good with the Mets. I mean, Stroman is what Stroman is, but the Mets are in the market for starting pitching because what's his face? Sean Manaea is going to be out for a while. And obviously, Frankie Montas, the Mets will be lucky to see him at all this year, given his history. So if the Mets want to trade Brett Beatty to us for Stroman and take the money, I'll do it in a minute. I mean, not that I think Brett Beatty's going to set the world on fire or change the Yankees' fortunes this year, but if he becomes anything sort of reliable and gets Stroman out of here, I mean, that's a win for the Yankees.
Yeah. I don't know. That's at least our worries right now.
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about that. I mean, we got other things that we really want to get to today, so there is a big topic on Marcus, you know, a big discussion on Marcus Stroman that we will probably have next week if nothing else happens. But the Yankees also announced, when was it, Sunday, Monday, whenever the hell it was, they lost the game at home, and they played Frank Sinatra. That's my, what is it? What was the name of the song? My Life, or That's the Way It Is, or something like that. I forget the name of the song.
I don't know what song it was.
But anyway, or That's Life. I don't know. Is somebody in the chat? That's Life. There you go.
That's Life, yes. Yeah.
Thanks, Pete. So which is a fitting title, you know, that you lose, That's Life, right? So, and then they announced that they are not going to be playing New York after losses anymore. Great, because, you know, New York is a celebration for Yankee fans. You don't want to be depressed after a loss hearing that. So that's more of a party atmosphere for Yankee fans, you know, and you get the goosebumps when you hear it after a walk-off or you know, the final out. You know, it brings you to a different place, and it just doesn't sound the same, right? It just takes the vibe away when you hear it after the Yankees lose. But again, it's something that I would have personally done. I don't know. I probably, you know, it's not that big of a deal to me. Again, that I would have had to make a directive about it and change it. But you have to sit there and wonder why the Yankees are changing all these things all of a sudden. Is it just a big giant distraction to keep you from the fact that we don't have a third baseman? We don't have a legitimate guy to really protect Aaron Judge right now. You know, what I'm more concerned about, other than, you know, Beards, or how do you call it? New York. Does this team going to win enough games to be the American League East champions again this year? Is this team going to be good enough in the postseason to get back to the World Series? Would they have cleaned up their act enough to get past the Dodgers? Or that's what I'm concerned about. None of this other stuff really matters. And, you know, you got fans on social media acting like y'all did something. What did you do? Oh, they're not playing a song anymore after they lose. Big deal. Do we get a real third baseman? Because then if that happened, then you can strut your, you know, puff your chest out and pretend like you did something. Oh, we bullied the Yankees. Oh, shut up. I'm so tired of hearing when people say dumb shit like that. Oh, we bullied the Yankees into making a change. Why don't you bully them into, you know, getting a real third baseman, or, you know, keeping Juan Soto? Because those are things that are actually really important. Not who has a beard or who, you know, what's playing after the final out. None of those things really matter, because at the end of the day, what matters most to you, to me, to anybody listening to this podcast is winning. And if you're telling yourself anything other than that, then you are, you know, you have the wrong hobby in life by watching us or watching baseball, because that all that matters. At the end of the day, did the Yankees win enough games in 2025? So beards, songs, none of it matters. It doesn't matter. It truly doesn't matter. All that matters is how the players perform on the field and if we're going to be good enough to win a World Series this year. Because if they win 85 games and are a wild card team and they lose in a division series, guess what? Who gives a fuck who has a beard? Who gives a fuck that they didn't play New York, New York after they got eliminated by the Astros in the division series, that you walked out to silence in game four? Who cares? Did that make the season better? No. All that matters is winning and losing. So the Yankees can distract us from, or distract you guys, you know, that, that are out there acting like you, you accomplished something with your lives by doing this stuff. You can be distracted by all that. But again, all I'm concerned with is if they're going to be having a parade down the Canyon of Heroes in November. So if Beards and no Frank after a loss equals a ring, then yeah, man, then let's, then that was a good deal for the Yankees. But to me, it has no bearing on the players on the field or the product that we're going to watch. So yeah, I mean, they might be nice things to make you feel good about yourself, but it does, again, at the end of the day, none of it matters until they win a World Series.
I'm very surprised in you. I can't even play on the way over there, Frank Sinatra. You yell at me, and now you're saying it doesn't matter to you. I'm just a little thrown at the moment.
You can't play Frank Sinatra?
You yell at me if I try to play Frank Sinatra when we're going over the bridge.
When have I ever yelled at you for that?
When we were on a bus the last time, and I haven't tried to do it since.
We were on a bus, and you tried to play Frank Sinatra?
Yeah. You and Chris are like, you can't do that. No, you don't play
New York, New York before the game. You know that.
So you can't now, but now it doesn't matter to you what game gets played afterwards.
It's reserved for post-game.
Oh. But every day is technically pre-game.
But it doesn't matter. Who cares what plays at the end of the final out? Are the Yankees getting the final out of the season?
I might like That's Life even better than New York, New York, personally.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Look, it was a big to-do that this week of the beards and the song. Where's my third baseman?
Not even where's your third baseman. Where's Giancarlo Stanton?
Exactly. Who's replacing Giancarlo Stanton in the lineup?
That's all being wishy-washy. One person, Spoon saying this, Judge comes out and says this. Looks like they're not on the same page. That whole thing just looks like a gigantic cover-up. What's really going on with him? He's going back to New York to have his elbows looked at. Oh, no, he's going back for personal reasons. Like, I don't know. It just leads into the Yankees always being shitty about how they relate to us about player injuries. I know it's the beginning of the season. You don't want people to know what's going on and whatnot. But what the hell is the difference if you say Giancarlo Stanton's not going to be in until the middle of the season?
Look, Greg in the chat says he views it all as a culture change. You know what changes cultures? Winning.
I don't know. Maybe without the beers, they'll attract some people. I think Devin Williams was asked if being able to grow a beard would have made it. Like, let's say they offer him a deal.
Right. He said that if the old policy was in place, he would have had to consider. It would be a consideration whether or not he would, or part of the consideration whether or not he would re-sign with the Yankees. You know, he's a. Mentally deficient Met fans want to think that this has to do with losing Juan Soto. You know, Juan Soto.
I have no idea. That pissed me off when I heard that.
You know, Juan Soto, who's had a beard his whole career except for last year, and then, you know, is not even has a whisker on his face as a Met, right?
Yeah, I took it more as if, because what, a day or 2 days beforehand was when that picture of Glaber came out with the beard. Him and Cashman were going on Twitter about the shh and the, you know, enough. I took it as a big fuck you to Glaber.
I think if you want to ask me what I think a player catalyst for this change was, is obviously it seems like it's Devin Williams. Because he was none too happy about having to shave when he came over here, and he was starting to grow the beard back before they even made an official announcement on it, and
he looked like a baby.
And excuse me, if especially if he does have a good year this year, he's obviously going to be a primary target for the Yankees to try to re-sign in the offseason. So, you know, again, what does this all really matter?
Well, I mean, it matters because it's their willingness to change, to attract other players and retain players.
Okay, well, where's their willingness to, improve the ball club?
Well, that's how you improve the ball club. You attract other players. Maybe that's why Verdugo sucked with his shitty beard.
Well, if that's a take you want to have, go right ahead. He shaved.
I'll give the guy the benefit. The guy was allergic to his own tattoos. He couldn't play without his beard. Literally, yeah, that was the problem.
No, okay. Well, if you say so.
I say so.
So, do you think that they should sign Alex Verdugo now?
Interesting question.
It's not really that interesting. The answer is no.
No. No. No, I do not. I wonder what's gonna happen with him.
I don't know. He's got a couple weeks to get a job.
Just see him playing in the Mexican League. It's gonna happen.
Are you saying that because he's Mexican? Why couldn't he play in the Korean League?
He could.
Go to Japan.
No, he's gonna go to the Mexican League. He's going to go play with Trevor Bauer. The guy's got like he's all proud about being Mexican, so that's probably where he would go. It's so weird. He's got like orange. That's so like uncharacteristic. I didn't believe that when I heard that.
Why that? Whatever.
He's Mexican.
He's got red hair.
Yeah, it's like so weird.
No, doesn't what's his face have red hair?
Who?
Canelo Alvarez?
I don't know.
I always felt like he had like that. Maybe I'm thinking of somebody different. I don't know. But yeah, let's briefly chat about Giancarlo Stanton, man, because this is going to be an interesting. It is an interesting situation, right? So we were told double tennis elbow. You know, he's going to New York to get looked at, and then Boone said it's a personal thing now. And he even said today that he's not sure when he's going to come back. Hopefully, he said hopefully soon. Obviously, I'm not going to speculate. Once you hear personal reasons, it's not our place or even right to speculate on what's going on. I'm just going to say that it feels like that we're not going to see much, if any, of him this season for whatever reason it might be. And we, you know, I always joked on this show that if Stanton's not here and he shows up on October 1st, that's fine. But, I mean, this lineup really needs Giancarlo Stanton for at least 110, 120 games. There's really not anybody within that's going to pick that up. And I know people are starting to drool over fucking Dom Smith because he hit a couple home runs. I mean, could he get hot and, you know, be productive for a couple weeks? I mean, anything's possible. Left-handed hitter at Yankee Stadium. By counting on him being anywhere close to the guy he was with the Mets, where, you know, people were actually debating him over Pete Alonso at one point. No, I don't. And there's a reason why he's a non-roster invitee and not a guy that got any considerable look for, you know, a guaranteed contract. But I mean, honestly, if you're really looking at guys, you know, Ben Rice might be a guy that I would like to see more than Dom Smith, obviously, because he's our guy. He's more of the future. And Joel Sherman said yesterday that the people, you think he used the term, the people that matter really like Ben Rice in the organization and feel he'll be a middle of the order hitter. Ben Rice yoked up over the offseason. He put on 10 pounds of muscle. We saw flashes of his power last year. So he's a guy, you know, I think he's blocked behind the plate. That's obviously Austin Wells' job. Although Sherman mentioned catcher DH for him. Didn't say anything about first base. So we'll see. That's a guy I would obviously like to see more of. If Stan's going to be out for a while, especially there's going to be way more right-handed pitching than left-handed pitching. And I guess the other guy at DH that I would probably, I don't know if I want to mention this because I think it's part of a large conversation we're going to have in a second here, is maybe Jason Dominguez. I don't know. I mean, if you're really that concerned about him in left field, maybe he DHs and for a while there. He'll keep his bat in the lineup because he absolutely has to play every day. You need to have that bat in the lineup. You know, I've been saying it for a long time that he's the biggest X factor for this team going into 2025. He's the guy that has the highest upside to potentially replace. And I'm not saying he's going to be Juan Soto, but to get to eliminate some of what you feel like you lost, I feel like it could come from Jason Dominguez.
Dominguez, he is... Every opportunity in front of him to become, I'm stuttering, an awesome player that we rely on day in and day out. If he turns out to be half of what he's supposed to be, 5-tool player, awesome hitter, steal the bases, yada, yada, yada. I mean, that's a difference maker, you know, especially when you lose Giancarlo's bat. It has the potential to change the lineup. If he doesn't do what he needs to do, I'm nervous. It changes everything.
Well, this is why I think let's get to DJ Steele's super chat before we get into what I was going to bring up here. I told my missus she drew her eyebrows too high. She looks surprised. What's up, fellas? Hey, Sem, I don't know if I'm... It's Sem, S-E-M. That's his name, okay? DJ Steeles. I don't. Are you going? Yes. We will both be at Yankee Stadium on the 29th. We'll see you out there at the Audi Club, my friend. So you can meet Sem for the first time. You don't have to call him Seg. It's Sem. Okay.
Sem. You can come meet me on opening day. I'll be there too.
He'll be there too, but we all know everybody's going to be out there on the 29th. So make sure you get your tickets because the day is rapidly approaching NYYU Day in the Audi Club on March 29th, which should be Max Fried's debut for the New York Yankees. If I'm the Yankees, right, and I, here's the problem, though, is that it's always smart. We always say on the show, smart or Yankees. Now, I'm smart. Or smarter than the Yankees are, anyway. If I'm smart here and I'm running the Yankees, I have to realize that Jason Dominguez is not comfortable in left field. And I get it, there's still 4 weeks left, and a lot of people are saying just stick him out there, see what you got. Okay? You can do that, and you can have a bad defensive player that just doesn't get it out there for whatever reason and then ruin his confidence. Yeah, DJ Steeles is right. The first when we met, Cole did the four fingers, and I was not happy about that. So if you're in the chat right now, Pete just threw up the link for tickets on March 29th, so make sure you grab them and meet everybody from NYYU, and Sem and I will be out there as well. And then you can make a guy get in his own head where the one thing that you really truly need him to do is hit. And it can, you know, ruin him at the plate. So is he more comfortable as a center fielder? Yeah, I would say so, man. And so what do you do with Cody Bellinger then? Cody, you know, Cody being a veteran, excuse me. I still got this remnants of this flu, man. It's been like 2 weeks. You know, being a more of a veteran player, could he handle left field or you know, and not have it affect him the way it seems to be affecting Jason Dominguez? You know, he's also a guy that can play first base. So I would say, you know, seeing how he can switch around the multiple positions already, it probably would be best for Cody to play left field and keep Dominguez comfortable, right? That's probably what I would do defensively right now.
So you want to put Dominguez in center, Bellinger in left. Judge stays at right.
Obviously, Judge stays in right. I think that Cody would... I don't think it would affect Cody in left as much as it's affecting Dominguez right now.
I think Cody would be able to adjust to it much more. I mean, you got... He's been in the league, obviously. You got Dominguez, who hasn't really... How long was he up for? A couple weeks?
He played hurt. He literally played like 8 games.
Yeah, you know, like the guy hasn't
been... In 2023.
He hasn't been able to adjust to actually playing in the show. Now he's trying to adjust to a new position. I could see how that's overwhelming.
Well, Scott Wright says Cody's barely played in left since 2017, but you got to pick your poison here. Who do you trust more to acclimate themselves to left field right now, Cody Bellinger or Jason Dominguez? And to me, I'd rather have Cody play left field. Stick it up and be less of a liability out there. And if it keeps Dominguez, more comfortable where it's not going. And again, excuse me, one second, cover the air for a second here.
Oh, see, he's got an issue. I think what he's saying is that we need Dominguez's bat, obviously. I can't see the chat, so you guys can tell me if I'm wrong or not, but you need Dominguez's bat more so than Bellinger's. You're going to rely. You can get those headphones. Yeah. You're going to rely more on Dominguez's offense than we are on his defense. We need him to go, come out, produce, score some runs for us. Whereas if we're not expecting that out of Bellinger as much, I mean, we all want Bellinger to repeat his MVP season. I don't think that's going to happen. You know, we have high hopes for Dominguez. That's what we want out of him. Bellinger, we just want solid defense and you know, some contact hitting. Move the runners.
Well, I think the Yankees need a lot more than, you know.
Well, I don't disagree.
I think the Yankees need a 30 home run hitter out of Cody Bellinger.
Wow.
he basically is the replacement for Juan Soto.
That is true.
And I think Cody's going to have a monster year this year. I really believe Cody Bellinger is going to bang in New York. And I think that swing is just tailor-made for Yankee Stadium. And I think this is somewhere he wants to be. And, you know, if he's 100% healthy, I think we're going to see big things out of Cody Bellinger this year. But Cody Bellinger is tied to a lot of other people right now and where the Yankees are going to use him and what they're going to do with him. So, you know, Boone said he wants Cody in center because he wants to be able to play Trent Grisham in center. Honestly, no offense to Trent Grisham. Who the fuck cares about Trent Grisham, okay? Because he wants to be able to slot. If you're playing Dominguez in center, then that means that Grisham can't play center when you want to give Judge a DH day. Who cares about Trent? Honestly, if we're making decisions affecting Jason Dominguez based on Trent Grisham, we're not doing the right thing, basically, is what I'm trying to say here.
I was just looking up Trent Grisham beard. I want to see if he was one of the guys that would grow out a beard because he looks like a 70s porn star.
I think Trent Grisham has a role on this team. He's a guy with a little bit of pop in his bat. He is a Gold Glove outfielder. But if you're telling me, oh, I got to play Dominguez in left because I want to be able to shift Cody to right when I give Judge a DH day, you're not doing your job as the manager of the Yankees. You have to say to yourself, what is my best starting nine? And then I'll adjust off of that when I want to give a guy a day off. Because you're looking at Trent Grisham and you're saying, how often is, if Dominguez, Judge, and Belly are healthy, how often is Trent Grisham playing? How often are you giving Judge a DH day?
He batted 190 last year. He wasn't very good. He had cracked a few home runs. I mean, obviously we want Grisham for his defense. He's not somebody I want to see in the lineup very often.
FL Driver in the chat says Judge gets a DH day. Move Martian to right. You can't be worse than Soto. And that's probably, you know what? That's an excellent point right there. It's a smaller outfield to play. First of all, we all know that right field is smaller to play. And for one day a week, you move him over to right field there, where if he can play center, he can play right. I mean, obviously, left field in Yankee Stadium is a lot different. So, honestly, man, that would be the way to go for me, is that if you want to. And then Cody's your left fielder. He's your everyday left fielder, so you don't have to move him, and Grisham can play center. I mean, I really don't understand what the Yankees' line of thinking is here with wanting to play the outfield like that. You can obviously see it's affecting Jason Dominguez right now. And if you do anything that is going to affect him at the plate, you're doing a disservice to this team. The Yankees need Jason Dominguez to not only be good, they need him to be borderline a superstar this year. If you really want to get back to the World Series, you need Jason Dominguez to be a guy that hits 270, 280, hits 20, 25 home runs, you know, gets on base at a 35% clip, is stealing 25, 30 bags. You need that out of him. And you want to risk it by having him, you know, be a head case because he's missed playing balls in left field? Why are we not putting him in center field where he's more capable, I think a lot of people feel that he'd be more comfortable. And a lot of people are saying, anybody is not concerned about Cody Bellinger playing left field. The way that it's shown itself to be a concern right now, based on last year and what we've seen so far in spring training, to be a concern for Jason Dominguez.
I don't know. The whole thing is this. It doesn't make sense to switch it up when you have that ability to probably move Bellinger over to left. So that means that's exactly what the Yankees are going to do, and they're going to stick him in left, and they're going to let him really just go to shit. I mean, is there a thought process? You know, we haven't had a legitimate or a good left fielder since Darty. And now they're just trying to, you know, get a solid everyday left fielder out of somebody. You know what I'm saying? Is that what it is? Because who we have to have? Guardy left. You had a.
It's been a rotating door. Hicks, Oswaldo Cabrera, Verdugo. I'm sure there's been. I'm sure.
What the hell's the guy in the White Sox? Benintendi.
Benintendi.
Who else has played left? What the hell was the other one with Tourette's? He played. Did he play left field?
Joey Gallo.
Gallo. Tauchman played left field.
Tauchman was around too. Yeah, I mean they've had a lot of people out there in left field.
No, so it's just this. Yeah, like I said, it's a revolving door. Is this just their attempt to like solidify somebody into the left field position and just get over? You know what I'm saying? Is that what?
Yeah,
it is?
But again, who's going to be the long term center fielder for this team past 2025? Cody Bellinger's here at max 2 years.
That's gonna be, it should be Dominguez.
That's what I'm saying, right?
Trent Grisham.
The Yankees don't. This is my problem with the Yankees is that they don't. What's that old saying? They're penny wise and dollar foolish.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Because that's how it feels to me right now. Like maybe Cody Bellinger's a better center fielder than Dominguez is, but then you're weakening the team by having Dominguez in left and not Cody in left. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
I missed today. Was that play where he was jumping towards the wall? Was that today where he missed the ball?
Yeah, he missed the play today.
I mean, it doesn't look like it was a very easy play. I glanced on it real quick. I was doing some stuff when I got home from work, so I didn't get to watch
that. Troy in the chat said it could be Spencer Jones ideally. He's got a lot to prove, man, before we can sit there and pencil him in as a long-term center fielder for the Yankees. He hasn't made it past Triple A yet, right?
I watched it back over. What do you call that when he puts something over it?
They showed
his swing. Yes, his overlay. I watched a swing from his last year to this year, and it's completely changed. So, I watched another overlay too. I'm sure you've seen it. Is fucking Michael King?
Yeah, and Will Warren.
Will Warren, and they look. It's like identical. It's crazy. Which would be really, if that pans out, that's really nice, because then that alleviates the whole, like I was saying last time we were on, you know, we're going to feel the losing Michael King that thing now. You know, they could get Will Warren to be anything like Michael King. That'd be amazing. But
I
don't know.
Here's the thing, right? People are now talking about Spencer Jones in the chat, right? Okay, this guy is still in the minor league, so now is the time to teach him to play left field. Whereas Jason Dominguez is here, and he plays center field where he's more comfortable. And then in 2 years, when Cody's not here, you've already got 2 years of Spencer Jones playing left field now, right?
Did Spencer Jones make Triple A last year, or was he still in Double A all last year?
If somebody in the chat can check. I don't know if he did get one of those late. Only Pete says only Double A.
Think he never made it to Triple A last year.
Sometimes they just send these guys up to Triple A at the end of the year for shits and giggles. Like,
I think he did really shitty, right? He was a strikeout.
And that's the thing. He's got to get his K rate down. I mean, you want him to be a viable option. He can't be striking out as much as he has.
Is he as big as he looks? Because he looks like a monster.
Yeah, he's about the size as Aaron Judge.
Yeah, just a little tiny head. But he's
I can't, based on what we've seen out of Spencer Jones so far, I can't think 2 years ahead and say, oh, he's going to be an everyday player for the Yankees. You like him to be. He's got tools, but so far...
Yeah, but you're not going to see him this year. I know a lot of people are bringing that up, too. There's no way he's going to come up.
I'll say this right now. The Yankees are in a bad spot, a really, truly bad spot if, you know, Spencer Jones is a viable option for them to be.
Oh, yeah, the season's probably over at that point, and they're just doing whatever they can to make the fans happy.
So I think if you were writing in the, you know, where these guys are playing now, are you putting Jones? Jesus Christ. Are you putting Cody in center field or left field?
I don't know. Personally, me, I'd like to see how Dominguez handles it. I know the whole it could mess up with his confidence.
So you're sticking with the plan, is what you're saying.
At least to like end of May around there, just to see how he's playing. Maybe he'll pick it up. You want to see him develop as a player, but like I said, obviously, you know, you don't want it to affect his bat. Hopefully it doesn't affect his bat. That's what me personally right now, that's probably what I'd do. I would probably stick him out in left field, say, get it done, see if you could do it. You got to be versatile.
I mean, I think a lot of people have that opinion. He's still got 4 weeks in spring training. Maybe something will click for him. I don't know, man.
Last year, he missed the ball because he lost it. He couldn't see it. That was the first thing that happened. The first game I was watching, he missed the ball. It was the same thing. And that's what scares me, because now it's like, okay. But then you're like, all right. I drive for a living, so I notice the sun. And the sun's at weird angles at this time of year. I absolutely hate it. It makes you go blind. So I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. Shit like that happens.
Yeah, I was sitting in Yankee Stadium watching him completely butcher a ball at nighttime. So
that's true.
Look, the reason why we're talking about this is because we've seen how these guys, it affects them at the plate. And I think, you know, a big problem with the Yankees last year was their run prevention, because their defense was so terrible. So we don't want to enter 20, you know, when you got Hal and Cashman telling you that they're younger and more athletic and they're going to be better defensively. You know, one of the big changes the Yankees are making is that Jason Dominguez is in left field and Cody Bellinger is in center field, right? And Judge goes back to right. Like, that's a big change. You had an outfield of the World Series of Verdugo, Judge, and Soto, and now it's Dominguez, Bellinger, and Judge. That's a huge change from a team that was just in the World Series. So you don't want to take a step where it could be seen as a step way back. You know, is Dominguez in left worse than Soto in right? I mean, is that could be something that we're looking at right now?
I don't know. Soto sucked in right.
The Yankees were able to hide Juan Soto in right field, and it worked. I mean, it worked for them. I mean, they got him to the World Series, but we also seen situations where it hurt them in pivotal games. You know, we don't want to have that situation this year. If the Yankees are going to make it back to the World Series, they got to play clean defense. And that's how they're going to beat the Dodgers, should they be lucky enough to get to the World Series. You can't give teams extra outs. Obviously, you know, if Dominguez continues to play like this, I don't think, you know, if God willing, the Yankees get back to the World Series, I don't think we're going to be talking about Jason Dominguez in left field. But again, that's also a major fucking problem for me. If Jason Dominguez is not your left fielder in the postseason, because what happened? The Yankees need this guy. I mean, it's plain as day that they need him. They need him to be what they sold us on him. So that's why Cody Bellinger, being as versatile as he is, you know, let Dominguez play where he might feel more comfortable, so it doesn't affect what you're telling us is a better defensive team, and affect him at the plate where you need him to pick up the slack. We not only lost Juan Soto, we're losing Giancarlo Stanton for a major chunk of time here.
I'm sitting here, and you could probably ask me what I would do with Dominguez, like, 10 times a row, and I probably never give the same answer, because now I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about when they moved Gleyber over to freaking shortstop and how that affected him so much.
I mean, Gleyber Torres' worst year of his career was when he played shortstop.
You know what season. I'm saying? So now I'm like thinking about, like, now maybe I would just stick Dominguez right back into center field and have Bellinger play left field. So I'm saying it's I'm glad I'm not the Yankee manager. That's all I know. I just get to sit there and criticize him.
Well, the Yankee manager also decided that he wants Aaron Judge to bat second.
Douche. After Judge says he prefers to bat third, too.
Right. So this is also a Cody Bellinger discussion, because where do you think Cody Bellinger fits better into this lineup? And to me, and I'm not telling you that Cody Bellinger is going to be the third place MVP finisher like Juan Soto was last year. I'm not telling you I expect that type of season out of him, but I expect a big season out of Cody Bellinger. I truly do. So we saw Aaron Judge last year have the best season a right-handed hitter will ever have in a lifetime. Possibly ever, right? That's what he did with a lefty hitting in front of him when he was batting third. So to me, why are we going to change it right now? And again, I get it. It's not Juan Soto. It's Cody Bellinger. But to me, what I would do is roll out Cody Bellinger and Judge 2-3 right now and see what happens. You don't think that Juan Soto benefited from having Aaron Judge batting behind him? What do you think that's going to do for Cody Bellinger?
I was looking at the batting averages before alone. I think out of everybody that's added and everybody that's on that's currently on the team, I think Bellinger had the better OPS, better batting average than everybody. I would put him second. I put Judge at third. Like you said, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Obviously, no, Bellinger isn't Juan Soto, but it sets Judge up nice to have him in the third spot. Not to mention Bellinger's on base. That's what you want. You want people on base for Judge to hit a home run. You're taking Stanton's bat out of it. Judge is the power bat. You want him to hit a friggin' dinger with Bellinger and whoever's in front of him on base already.
Judge hit 58 home runs with no real protection at all last year. So I'm almost not as concerned with who's hitting behind him as who's hitting in front of him, because that season was predicated on Juan Soto always being on base. So why I would personally put the better hitter in front of Aaron Judge based on what we saw last year. And I really have high hopes and high expectations for Cody Bellinger this year. And he's the guy that's, again, he's not going to be Juan Soto, but he's essentially been brought in to replace Juan Soto. So let him take that two spot. That worked for the Yankees last year. Again, this has a lot to also do with who's going to lead off for the Yankees, which we really don't know right now. I know a lot of people want Volpe there. I personally don't like Volpe there. We saw what happened. His whole season took a shit last year when he got moved up to the leadoff spot. And I would just stay away from him in that situation. I think 6 or 7 is probably best for him. Just like let him kind of just like hide down there and kind of just blend in with the rest of the lineup and kind of sneak up on guys, because that's where he was hitting in the postseason, and he had 800 OPS in the postseason. So that's kind of what I would do with him. You know, right now, to me, Dominguez is the best option that they have for leadoff, because he's switch hitter. So it doesn't matter, you know, you don't want to go left, right, or right. You know, it doesn't matter, because whoever the pitcher is, Dominguez just goes to the other side. Obviously, we know left is his better side, but if it's a lefty pitching, he's versatile in that sense, which is another reason why I don't want him being mind-fucked by the way he plays the outfield, because I need him to be, to me personally, I need him to be my leadoff hitter. I need really, truly need this to go right now, Dominguez, Bellinger, Judge, and then I don't know who the best option would stay and being out right now is at cleanup. I know that Boone has mentioned not only Bellinger, but Jazz hitting behind Judge. So maybe if in my world, would you go Jazz 4? I don't love it, excuse me, but maybe it's an option that you would have to go. And would I don't know, man, would I give Wells a crack at it, considering last year he had the most success out of anybody batting cleanup? I need to see maybe what Goldie does over 6 to 8 week stretch before I consider him. You know, the problem is that the Yankees are
is that we got three guys coming over from the National League that we really haven't watched much. We really don't know how they bat. We can look at their stats. They're not team. Bellinger, Goldschmidt, and Jazz, even though Jazz was here right after before the trade deadline, we didn't get many at-bats to watch. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just a sample size. These aren't people that we watch. It's hard for us to figure out where to put them. But, like, I'm just sitting here trying to figure out what's the justification to moving Judge back to second. Is it because that they're nervous with all the other batters that they really just want to get Judge's that extra at bat every game?
I don't know. Boone mentioned that, especially with Stan Alley. He feels the team's too left-handed. Now, mind you, 2 years ago, this team had no left-handed hitters, and now Boone said the team's too left-handed.
Well, that's the only reason I can think about that. They're just trying to squeeze an extra at bat out of him per game.
I don't know.
I want to keep him healthy. I put him back into the three slot just because I want – maybe he doesn't need to get that extra at bat, and it gives him a little bit of a break every once in a while. I know we all want to, you know, bleed Aaron Judge dry.
I wouldn't even worry. I mean, that's so inconsequential to –
Like I'm looking. I was just looking it up. It's, they average 4 to 5 at-bats. He's probably going to get the same amount of at-bats. As probably like a handful less. Why not just bat him third?
That's what I would do. I'm telling you right now, I would roll out Dominguez, Bellinger, and Judge 1, 2, 3. And it becomes really tricky who your cleanup hitter is going to be. But again, like I said, it doesn't – I understand – I'll say this. I understand Boone's reasoning because he wants to protect Aaron Judge, but you didn't protect him at all last year. The protection came in front of him. There was never any protection behind Aaron Judge last year. So why are you concerned about it now when he had a monster season? We'll never see anybody replicate the season Aaron Judge had last year with literally nobody protecting him all year. So why are you concerned about that now? It behooves me, and I get it. The team has changed. You don't have Juan Soto. It's Cody Bellinger. But why not keep that formula until it shows you that it's not working? And then maybe you do need to make a change. You know, 6-8 weeks down the road or whatever it might be. That's the way I would go. You know, again, I don't know what the answer is at cleanup, but to me, the answer is Bellinger in front of Judge 2-3.
Was it last year that they just switched up the lineup like nonstop in the beginning of the season? Was that last year?
I don't. They changed the lineup so many friggin' times.
I feel like they changed the lineup so much. Why wouldn't they just try? You know, like I don't know. Maybe they will. Maybe that's what they're gonna do. Maybe they're gonna change it up a lot this year too, and try to gauge it out where to put them. But
I think for the life of me, I can't. I think they were pretty consistent. They were definitely pretty consistent with 2-3 last year. You know, Soto.
Well, yeah, 2-3. Yeah, obviously stayed the same. That never changed.
So that's what you have to go into that. Into the season with that same mindset. This is what worked for Aaron Judge last year. Not saying that hitting two never worked for him. I mean, he's got two MVPs hitting second. Yes, he is the MVP of 2017. Anybody that disagrees with that is
an asshole.
Yeah, an asshole. I was going to say an Astros fan, but they're one and the same. So,
I don't know. Judge said he might likes to bat third. Why not just let the guy bat third? He's the captain of your team too.
So we listen to him. We listen to him on players that we can bring in, but where he wants to hit,
don't get rid of DJ LeMahieu. Okay, Aaron, we got you. I want to bat third. No way.
No.
Nah, can't happen. Absolutely not. You're batting second because that's where we want you. Fuck off. I don't know. That's the type of shit that pisses me off. It gets me going. When you hear the captain of your team, the best player in baseball says, hey, I want to bat third. Let the guy bat fucking third.
No, Judge was really triggered by this whole beard thing, which is surprising to me because he was drafted like 4 years after George died. So why he has like this...
He's triggered. He said he finds it to be a privilege to shave. Is that he the one that said it?
I don't know if that's what. No. I don't think it was him. Somebody else said it, but yeah, he's saying like, yo, if that rule kept you from being here, you don't belong here anyway. Like, I understand what he's saying in that respect because if shaving is that big of a deal for you, then. You don't really want to be a Yankee, right? I mean, shit.
I don't know. I hate shaving.
But if the Yankees were going to pay you $30 million to play baseball, you might consider it, right?
I get laser hair removal. They said Edward Encarnacion or something like that. did that just so he's looking at his little bit. Like, how weird. I don't know. I hate that shit. I hate shaving. I shave with a straight razor, and I just.
I think Cashman mentioned something about they offered an invite to spring training to somebody, and they got turned down because the guy didn't know if he wanted to shave or not.
I don't know, dude. You come and tell me you're going to pay me millions of dollars to go out there.
I'm saying,
I'm shaving.
You're barely a major leaguer, that you're getting minor league invites to camp, and you don't want to go because you might have to shave. I mean,
I must have been a loser.
I mean, that's probably, like I said, if you're Aaron Judge and you hear that, like, yeah, you shouldn't be here then. You really have no place here. If you're a fringe major leaguer getting a invite to camp and you don't want to come because you'd have to shave, you don't belong here. So I get it from that stance, from that standpoint.
I was going to text you earlier. I was just out of it. I wanted to ask you, too, with all the talk, right? This is something that I've been thinking about. It's been bothering me. All the talk that we've heard about DJ LeMahieu, how come we haven't seen him yet?
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
We said we'd be surprised if he made it out of spring training. Is he not even making it into spring training?
I don't know, bro. The way he looked the other day, swinging a bat, I'm sure the Yankees don't want to put him back out there.
Yeah, I was thinking about that before. It makes me happy that I haven't seen him yet. I'll probably still see him on opening day. Hopefully handing out peanuts. You know what I've been thinking about, too? I want to know, and I want everybody to pay attention. When you go to Yankee Stadium, there's this guy, and he wears glasses, and he's always yelling at the fucking kids, and he makes them go sit down when the players are throwing them balls. Do me a favor. Tell that guy he's an asshole every time you see him. I'll take a picture of him one day. You know who I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I know who he is.
The guy's a prick.
Giovanni in the chat says it might be to get Vladdy. Bro, Guerrero shaved last year while there were rumors of him being traded when the Yankees were brought up. I mean, like, I really wouldn't worry about that aspect of it. And I haven't heard about the hair changing, so he definitely would have to keep a short haircut for sure. Look. I was high on this Yankee offense, and I'm not so high on it anymore because, number one, we have no idea what the hell is going on with Giancarlo Stanton, right? So that's you can say whatever you want. That's still 25 when he's healthy. That's 25 home, healthy for him, 110, 120 games. That's still 25 home runs out of your lineup. That's still protection for Aaron Judge out of your lineup. So now, you're looking at where you only had one weak spot. Thank you, Michael. One weak spot in the lineup, which would have been third base. Now you're looking at two weak spots. And now, not that you're saying Aaron Judge is a weak spot, but I don't like him as much at the two hole as I did at the three hole. So I don't know. The construction of his lineup is going to be very interesting, because if we go with how I want it, Dominguez, Belly, Judge, where does it go from there? Who's cleaning up? Is it Jazz? Is it Wells? Do you put a lefty behind him, behind Aaron Judge? I mean, I would probably put a lefty there, split the lefties then. You go lefty Goldschmidt 5, the other lefty at 6, Volpe 7, and then Dom Smith, and then your third baseman.
I don't know how you remember who the hell's a left-hander. There's so many new names. I'm having trouble remembering their names.
Or, honestly, if it honestly is coming down to Dom Smith, then Ben Rice is the DH. Right? Wouldn't you rather do that?
I want to see Ben Rice play just because I liked watching him play. The guy came up, hits three. He came off a double-A team being a catcher. He went to Scranton for like a week, and then all of a sudden he's the first baseman for the Yankees, and then he rips three home runs. He's the only Yankee rookie to ever do it. That's like pretty amazing.
Yeah,
he adjusted pretty quick there. Now, was it a fluke? Sure, probably. People didn't really know how to pitch him. They probably didn't have like a great scouting report on him because no one really took him.
I'm just saying, if we're going to consider Dom Smith being the opening day DH because Stan's not going to be around, why don't we just give the at-bats to Ben Rice instead?
I would give it to Ben Rice. I'm trying to see, but when's the last time Giancarlo Stanton played that many games? That's what I was looking at.
So would you be down if you go Dominguez, Bellinger, Judge? I don't know. I'll say Jazz, Goldie, so Wells,
switch, lefty, Volpe, righty, lefty,
Rice, Peraza. There, that's your lineup.
You want Peraza over Cabrera?
Yes, I don't want Oswaldo Cabrera.
You don't want Cabrera. You want anywhere near the field?
No, not anywhere near the field. I don't want him playing every day.
So I go switch, right, left.
Yeah, you go switch, right, left. No, you go switch, left, right, left, left right, right, left.
Right.
Volpe's a righty, another lefty, and a righty. Bang, right there. Now you got bounce up and down the lineup, too.
Yeah. I don't know. Like I said, I can't. You just put Peraza in a lineup and you just make me happy just because he's my guy. I'll never be mad at a lineup with him in it. It's nice to be able to do that. Like you said, the 1 year Boone's complaining that we're too right. No, well, complaining we're all right-handed, but I don't know. It's hard not to say Chisholm. Chisholm, he doesn't look too hot yet going on in
Well, he's here for. I mean, he's the second baseman. I mean, there's not anything we're going to do about that. So, I also don't worry about.
I'm just trying to think of the lineup. I'm just.
There's certain guys that you know. I don't care what they do in spring training. Like, I'm not worried about Jazz Chisholm's stats in spring training. Like, I know Rodon's pitching to a 10 ERA and people are freaking out. I'm not the biggest Rodon fan, but I'm also not concerned over what his spring training stats are. He's a veteran trying to get in shape and get his pitches down. So that doesn't concern me right now.
Nah, I mean, I'm not really, I don't know. I think today's the first game I missed. I usually watch a lot of spring training games whenever I can. What's going on with that, the pitch challenging? That's going away?
They're not doing it. It's just
not doing
just
it in the regular season.
Right,
they're just testing it out now?
Yeah, which is wild because it's not wild that they're doing it. I understand that they just want to get have the major leaguers kind of get a feel for it. But Terry Francona said he told his team not to even bother with it.
Why?
Because they're not doing it this season. So I said, why waste time with it? And I love Terry Francona, but I think that's just really stupid.
I just want him to go to robotic umps already. I'm tired of the umps making the games about them. So I think it suck. I don't care. I want it, but I don't know. It's gonna be interesting what lineup they come out with or to see who they play. Obviously, you got mobility and Bellinger to play different positions. You got Trent Grisham there. Giancarlo not being there. Obviously, you could move Judge around to DH or Dominguez to a DH. You're gonna have two different people probably playing third base on and off, depending on who the pitcher is. It's gonna be all over the place. It's gonna be interesting.
You know, Uncle Dom makes a great point. He goes, right now, Peraza is my third baseman for the Gold Glove and baseball IQ alone, and that's.
They made a nasty play the one day. He defensively, he looks good.
Peraza's bat is not going to be the reason why the Yankees get off to a slow start. So you give this kid 100, 200 at-bats, and let's see what he does with them. And then if he doesn't do anything, then you start looking around. You let Cabrera fill the hole until you go out and get somebody. I'm not, honestly, if you're giving me, if those are my three choices. We've talked about this. Those are my three choices. I want Peraza, and I'm not even going to have a debate with anybody over it.
No, Peraza should be the go-to. I'm not so down on Cabrera as, other people, but like Peraza, I like his fielding. I think he's really good at fielding. He's played third base plenty of times already. I'd like to see him in there. I'd like to see him get his chance. They brought him up during the playoffs the one time when that couldn't have been good for his development. And then he came up and then he got hurt.
Not good for his development is the all the times he rode the Scran shuttle. Not good for his development.
It doesn't help that he slid into second base the one day they put him into the game. That's how he got hurt, not last season, the season before. Got hurt sliding into second base. I think it was like a meaningless game. And then last season he started off on the IL. He would have been the starting third baseman last year. It wouldn't have even been a question. He would have been the starting third baseman last year because DDJ was hurt. And then
if Volpe didn't outplay him, he would have been this friggin' shortstop too.
I don't even think Volpe outplayed him because I watched every game that season.
I know you're
Volpe
gonna
Volpe outplayed him at the end of spring training when none of the starters were playing.
It doesn't matter. Peraza struggled and he blew his opportunity. It doesn't matter. You could say who he was playing. Peraza blew his opportunity that spring training.
I don't know. But Volpe's leaving much to be desired too at this point.
Well, this is a big year for Anthony Volpe. We've talked about that a lot as well. This is a big year for Anthony Volpe. He's got to prove that he can be the franchise's shortstop for the next 10 years, because if he has a 660 OPS again, that, guess what, everybody? That's who this kid is, and that's not going to be good. The Yankees need the guy that played in October. That's who they need. So, you know, people are all concerned about losing Juan Soto and how the Yankees, they're not going to make it up with one guy. They're going to make it up with Cody Bellinger hitting 30 home runs and Paul Goldschmidt not being washed up. Austin Wells now getting 500 at-bats and him hitting 20 home runs. And Volpe can be the guy for 600 at bats that he was in October. And Jason Dominguez, as I talked about numerous times now, that Jason Dominguez, is he going to be, you know, anywhere close to the superstar they hyped us on? That's how you make it up. And if the Yankees do that, you know, this team needs a bat. I mean, that's just what it's going to come down to. They can get by with pitching and Aaron Judge through the regular season. They're going to need to acquire a bat to get through October.
Well, last year, you consistently only had like two batters really producing at any given time. If you could get three or four people to be productive this year, you're a better team. That's the way I'm looking at it. Offensively, we were very stale last year. Soto obviously was the constant all year round. Judge picked it up after the first few weeks, and then he was unstoppable. Fell off in the postseason. Then you had Soto still going. Giancarlo picked it up. Glaber picked it up. Volpe picked it up. They got rolling, you know, and unfortunately, it ended the way it ended. But, like, if they could get more than two, if they could get some production out of multiple people, it's the game changer. That's what makes you as good as or a better team. You can't sit there and just rely on Juan Soto and Aaron Judge. You can't replace, even if you went out and got a player that was just, they got Kyle Tucker. Everyone's like, oh, Kyle Tucker. If they got him and Judge, they're the only two producing, you know, you're still not that great of a team. If we were in the National League, I don't think we, you know, do we make the playoffs? Is it because American League sucks?
No, I mean, they would have made the playoffs.
Yes, but like, you know what I'm saying, it would have been much harder.
Yeah, I mean, who knows how the Yankees would have matched up against any of the other teams. Obviously, the Dodgers exposed them in the World Series, but... Yes.
They can't... The Yankees need to stop relying on Aaron Judge solely. The guy's not always going to be fucking great forever, and I hope he is. And if he is, he is. But ultimately, like, Volpe needs to hit. Or otherwise, get out. Fuck out of here. Send him on his way. Bring somebody else in. It's just, you want to win. You don't want to lose. You don't want to lose the way we lost. And it sucks when you sit there and you watch day in and day out and you don't have guys producing. And
look, he's the team's best player, so they're going to rely on him. They have to rely on him. And yes. If he's not producing at a near MVP level, then the Yankees are in trouble regardless of what any of these other guys do. He's the constant in the lineup. It's up to now, you got to find, you know, Robin, who's going to be Robin to Batman this year. And I really, truly still, I'm going to come back to this, think that Cody Bellinger has the potential and the skills to do it. It might not look as sexy as when Juan Soto did it last year, but I think you know, when we look back at this season, we're going to be like, hey, we lost Juan Soto, but Cody Bellinger was pretty goddamn good for us.
I hope so. I mean, that's all we could do is at this point is hope, you know? What else are we going to do? It's all hypotheticals right now.
The issue with last year versus this year is you had the given of Juan Soto and Aaron Judge in this lineup. So you knew you had two guys in this lineup that were going to produce to a certain level. You didn't have to question it. And then they went above and beyond anything you could have expected out of either one of them. Now we only really have Aaron Judge to kind of guarantee. And then you're hoping for other guys to step up. You're hoping, you know, I think Cody Bellinger is going to have a big year, but what's that based on? That's based on a change of scenery, him being somewhere he wants to be, blah, blah, blah. Volpe, again, he needs to step up. Dominguez, Wells, all these guys, man. Jazz, what's Jazz do with a full year at Yankee Stadium, you know? So we don't have guarantees. We don't have that in this lineup, and that could be what could be scary, and that could also could be what's scary. And like scary,
It takes the team. The team has to produce, because if you have one other guy, listen, Juan Soto was one Tatis Jr. freaking slide to first to give him a concussion. You know what I'm saying? Like how Anthony Rizzo was rolling that year, and then fucking Tatis Jr. hits him in the head, gives him a concussion, derails his whole career. There's things happen, injuries happen. You can't just have two guys producing. We need everybody. Now, are we going to have everybody? No, you're not going to have everybody. That's just insane. But you have to expect half the team to produce, and then the other guys that pick up the slack when that half isn't. And that's been the problem I feel with the Yankees.
The Yankees got to the World Series with production basically from two guys. It was Judge and Soto in the regular season and Stanton and Soto in the postseason. This year, they're going to need many more guys step up and help them through the regular season and into October and through October. They can't rely on two guys this year.
No. And I don't want them to rely on two guys either, because that's what it is. Listen, it can't even be a whole home run and bust. I feel like the way it is too. I want to see some small ball. I need to see get guys on base so I can watch guys steal bases. I don't know about you, but last year I love Jazz Chisholm. And I was excited when he came over. And that one game, he like produced a run all on his own. He made it from first to third and then came back. Like that's exciting baseball. I know it's cool to watch home runs. That's great. But like, I want to watch baseball. Fundamental, good baseball.
Well, that's the thing with guys like Jazz and Volpe and Dominguez is that they get on base, they can steal bases. You can easily have 100 stolen bases between those three guys. And you throw in a guy like Cody Bellinger, who's athletic, and you know he's probably not going to steal as much as those three guys, but it's another guy that can, you know, move around on the bases. So this team does have potential to score runs this year. It's just that a lot of people are going to have to step up.
Look, somebody was talking about how great Volpe is. He's such a good base runner, and he's a threat to stealing all that. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, the guy doesn't get on base. He needs to get on base, and he needs to steal bases. That's what's going to make Anthony Volpe. You know, I can't. Listen, if you want Anthony Volpe to go up and hit home runs and grand slams and big moments, yeah, cool. Like, I want that from him too. But, like, ultimately, small ball, get a ball into play, get on base, make things happen.
Yeah, and he cut down on the home runs last year, and he sucked. He was worse last year. So he's got to find the happy medium for himself here.
It's just you can't do that shit. It's just listen, I get it. It's big shoes to he filled in. You know, obviously he's won. It was Didi before him, but he's still filling one of the biggest. The shoes of one of the Yankee greats that everybody loves and all that. You know what I'm saying? It's got to be a lot of pressure on him.
Yeah, the Yankees hadn't had a franchise shortstop since 2014, so they've been looking for that, and this is the kid they pegged for it. So
maybe it's too much for him. I don't know. Maybe that's what we always say. Like, New York's a lot to handle. Maybe he can't handle it. Maybe if he goes someplace else, he's gonna be awesome. But
I don't know.
That's. I mean, listen. We were all there for the when they had your first event and all that, and we were all, everybody collectively jumped up and was screaming when Volpe got his first hit. That was so great. We were all pulling for him. No one hated him, but he's really becoming a thorn in my side when I watch these games.
So
I don't know.
As we close things out here, you know, Cody Bellinger's versatility is going to be something the Yankees need to take advantage of here, and not just shoehorn him into center field. And but that's the thing, you know, Boone mentioned, you know, maybe Cody or maybe Jazz. Like, if you don't, is Cody your cleanup hitter then? I mean, like, what are we doing here? I don't get it. If you're going to have bat Jazz third, where are you batting Bellinger? Is Bellinger dropped to five now? Because you probably want to put Goldschmidt in between two lefties. I don't know. I feel like we're kind of losing what Cody Bellinger can do well for us if he's batting fifth. So,
I think it's going to be a lot of what-ifs and hypotheticals until we get to the All-Star breaks and they make some trades, or hopefully they don't have to. Hopefully everything's great. You know what I'm saying? This is what it is. It's all what-ifs. But we get there, they make some trades, and then we have a solid, we know what we're getting going into the postseason and all that.
So, Jason, I'm not sure if that's how you say it, but maybe that's how it's said. And the chat just brought up Al Trawig, and it would be remiss if I don't say rest in peace to Al Trawig, voice of MSG Network for a long time. I remember Al way back in the day when the Yankees were on MSG. He's probably the first sports media personality I really truly remember. And he passed away this week, so rest in peace to Al. Did you know that? Did you know Al Trawig? I don't know if you.
I probably know the voice when I hear it.
Did you know that the house? Remember the house in Meet the Parents when they play pool volleyball and Fokker spikes the ball into the sister's face?
Oh yeah,
that's Al Trawig's house.
Oh, he had a nice house.
So we lost Al Trawig this week. Also, Michelle Trachtenberg passed away. RIP to her. I don't remember a lot of her kid stuff, but obviously I remember her from Eurotrip and Weeds. Too young to go. Al Trawig was too young to go. I think he was 68 years old. She was only, 38, 39. She was in poor health the last couple of years, so... And then today, the whole Gene Hackman thing. I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean,
oh man, everyone's going nuts with that's not to get political, but every asshole in the world's out there saying that he was on the Epstein list and they committed suicide together.
I don't know. The whole dog situation is what's making this case so intriguing, because,
well, there's two dogs still alive.
Yes, exactly. Why is one gone?
Why they kill Rover and not Spot and Circle?
Yes, Spot and Circle.
I don't know. It's the whole. They said he was like mummified.
That just means that he didn't lay out. That doesn't mean that he was wrapped.
They've been dead for a while. That's what it's saying. They've been dead for a while. Oh, that's gross.
They basically ruled out carbon monoxide poisoning.
I saw something about pills and all that stuff.
Yeah, apparently the wife had a bunch of pills laying around her, which and people were speculating that the one dog ate the pills and that's why that one dog is dead. I don't know.
Maybe.
It's just it's been a crazy week with losses. So rest in peace to everybody that we lost this week. Obviously, yeah. Hopefully no more news like that breaking anytime soon. Do without it. But excuse me here. Hopefully next week I'll be feeling back to my regular self here. I don't know if anybody's caught this goddamn flu that's been going around, but I had it 2 weeks ago and I'm still not there. Like, I don't feel 100%. I'm fucking tired all the time. Like, I just don't have the energy or the strength that I had before this. I don't know, man. Maybe it'll be me next. Maybe you'll be co-hosting with somebody else next week. You don't know.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm good.
So
I'm good. My vertigo came back, so I'm not a happy camper.
So if I make it, if I survive, I'll be out at the Audi Club on March 29th. So we hope to see you there. Pete posted the link to buy tickets in the chat earlier. So hope to see everybody out at the Audi Club on March 29th for NYYU Day.
Oh, you can eat hot dogs, bro.
There's going to be a lot better food there than hot dogs. Nah, I guess you can get hot dogs as well.
Okay. Hot dogs. Hot dog. You get there early enough. They usually have what? Prime rib?
Prime rib. Okay.
Potatoes.
Potatoes. Like
I'm not eating any of that vegetable shit. Sprayed in pesticides. I'm good. I think they had sushi the one year.
I'm pretty sure they did have sushi.
They had a waffle. They had a waffle station the one time.
I think they had lamb one year. I love lamb.
Yeah, oh, they did. Yes, they did. And I was like, woohoo. I was excited about that.
I love lamb. You got to know how to cook it, though.
Yeah, it's got to be red and still bad. And
on the grill. Got to grill them.
I would rather have it in a cast iron skillet, just seared. Yeah, I could really fucks with that.
Yeah, so we'll be...
It's like venison.
We'll be out at the Audi Club looking forward to all the
eating.
And hopefully Max Fried will be eating that day, man. It should be his Yankee debut. We're looking forward to that. So if you're still in the chat, like this video, subscribe to NYYU. A little programming note. I know the last time I said we were moving to Wednesday, we never showed up because I caught the flu. So hopefully this is not a harbinger of things to come here. But the next two episodes will be on Wednesday. You can catch us at 8 o'clock live here on NYYU for the next two Wednesdays. March 12th, mark this down in your calendars, is going to be a special episode. So if you've been a longtime fan of the show, you're not going to want to miss it. But that's 2 weeks from now. Next week, you know, we'll see what's going around the Grapefruit League. If anything's, we get any Stanton news or anything like that, or what the hell's going on with this team, we'll discuss it. But like I said, next two Wednesdays, we'll be here live on NYYU at 8 o'clock. also, if you're listening on your favorite podcast platform on Friday, please subscribe there. You know, leave us a 5-star rating and review and tell everybody NYYST is the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey. I want to thank everybody for your continued support of NYY Underground and the NYYST podcast. I want to thank everybody that's been in the chat tonight. And thank you very much for listening and watching episode 449. Sem, say goodbye.
See ya.
Can't make a promise, but I do my best. 25 sitting on 25 racks. Got started, no, we ain't done yet. But a new crib, that's a goddamn flex. Goddamn flex. Sign that.